You are listening to the Alouettes Flight Deck, a proud member of the Canadian Football Podcast Network.
All right, folks, we've been cleared for takeoff.
Give me a hell, give me a yell. Stand up right now and give me a hell, give me a yell. Stand up right now, get ready to go. She ain't moving slow, she's taking control. Pushing the pedal through the floor. I'm begging for more, you better.
And welcome to Alouettes Flight Deck, podcast dedicated to Montreal Alouettes football, sponsored by Bad Monkey Popcorn. I'm Tim Capper, along with Cliffy D. Hey, hey, hey.
Hey, hey.
Two more weeks of the regular season. Sorry, two more weeks in the season.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, the next two Fridays, that's what we have to look forward to. And then, as they always say, there's always next year.
Well, they've been saying that for a while. Saying that for a while, and the day was, you know, I mean, I don't think you and I expected to go into this game, and it ended up being as bad as it was, you know, for the Alouettes to, you know, for the Hamilton Tiger Cats to go uncontested for 40 straight points. Yeah. You know, this was not the follow up that the Owls needed to a half decent game, even though it was a 40-point game also, to Edmonton on Thanksgiving. But, you know, there were a lot of things, and we'll lead up to the game here, but there were a lot of things that kind of made us go, that led up to this game. And a couple of them being, because we didn't get to mention it last week because we took the week off, was, Tyquan Underwood being cut. And then, and by the way, nobody, please, any players who are listening, do not worry. There's no Alouette Flight Deck curse yet.
No.
So you can still come on. You can still come on. It was just a one-off. Unfortunately, and see, that was totally unexpected. I don't ever expect a team, Cliff, to get rid of a player who's had 500 yards on the season and keep a guy who has 5 receptions and 26 yards. Samuel Jaguar. So sorry, I had something in my throat there. Sorry.
Yeah. I've said it before, and I'll say it again. Sam Jaguar should thank his lucky stars that he was born in Sherbrooke, Quebec, and not, say, Des Moines, Iowa, or Green Bay, Wisconsin, because his play, he definitely would have been shown the door a long time ago.
Wait a minute. What happens if he lived in Eau Claire? That's French enough for you.
I don't know. We may have to get a ruling on that.
Eau Claire, Wisconsin. Hold on a second. We're going to go to the command center. Hold on. Let's see what they say. They don't care. I don't think I've ever seen a team do that. That's nutballs, you know. And then Jaguar basically gets 3 receptions and all the yards back. Basically, all the yards he'd had all year, half of his yards in those catches. Mm-hmm. So I don't get. And then they also released a pivotal part. Part of the whole Bear Woods thing by getting rid of, he's gone already, the defenseman.
Dominique Tiville?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's funny because he actually did manage to play, I felt he was a very good replacement for Bear Woods. I mean, it's kind of hard to replace a Bear Woods outright, so I'm not even going to bother comparing the two of them. But I think considering what fans were expecting in having a Bear Woods on his team this season and not getting it, and then anyone who steps into that role was automatically going to be scrutinized. But I thought that Dominique Tiville did a very good job filling in, so to speak. And he actually even got a touchdown. In fact, that horrendous game in Toronto, the first of the two, Dominique Tiville actually had a pick six.
You're right, the only score of the game.
The only score of the game was by Dominique Tiville. And as a reward for all of his hard work and dedication, he was shown the door.
So
that's the Canadian Football League, folks.
Yeah. So then it leads up to this. The game started off well enough. You know, the Owls actually were ahead 7-3, and then the bottom fell out. It's as if they couldn't do anything. And once again, the Alouettes give up a 20-plus point. In this case, just 20-point second quarter. When you give up 20-point second quarters and you score nothing, which seems to be, the theme of the year, you're going to lose.
Even more surprising was Kevin Durant started this game because Kevis Reed was still very much convinced that Durant still needs to be able to prove himself, to really get out of his funk. Whatever it is that's given us this lackluster season of his, Kevis is dedicated to giving Durant every possible opportunity to redeem himself. And it's funny because he connected with Ernest Jackson for that touchdown. And it was kind of neat in the sense that, well, this is what we've been expecting all year. We were expecting to see this connection a lot more, quite frankly. And I won't say that gave us hope because, I mean, I think this team is beyond hope at this point now anyways. I mean, let's call a spade a spade. But, you know, just for that brief shining moment, I was like, okay, wow, this is what it was supposed to be like. This was what we were expecting all year. And then it bottomed out. Like you said, Montreal, I can't even say they took their foot off the gas because I have to wonder if they really had it on at all because,
well, Durant was under center. So I'm going to say no.
And I got to give props to one of the hosts of Podski Wee Wee, Mike_Ticats. He actually had a very, very funny line saying that there's going to be a lot of football trees growing in Montreal because Durant keeps planting them into the dirt all year. So Mike, hat tip to you, buddy. That was pretty funny.
That actually is very fun. That is it. Yeah.
But let's fast forward, Tim. Let's talk about, we're down by a buttload of points.
Yeah, we are.
Montreal manages to move the ball downfield. At this point, Matthew Schultz is in the game and actually does. People were asking me, like, what do you think of him so far? I'm like, well, we really haven't seen a whole lot to truly, truly judge. But for what we saw, it was a good, solid effort. I thought he moved the ball fairly well, made great use of the running game. What a concept, using your running backs, using the ground game effectively. And they managed to get all the way into the red zone.
But not as well versus Edmonton. I will admit that was one of the few things that I kept on mentioning, is that Hamilton must have been watching tape because they limited Terrell pretty well in the first half.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But, I mean, Montreal gets in the red zone in this game and just can't quite punch it in. So on third down, what does Kevis Reed decide to do? Not see if the rookie quarterback can at least try to get a touchdown. Mm-hmm. Instead, they go for the points. Despite being down 30-plus points.
And the Boo Birds were out.
Oh, our section was just beside themselves with boos, cat calls, just everybody's hands are up in the air like, what are you doing?
The points don't matter. I mean, unless they were hoping to get, you know, every point helps when it comes to possibly not, you know, if they win the next two games, the Owls win the next two games, and Hamilton loses the next two games, then the Owls would not get the number one pick overall. You know, it would be by points, but it's a moot point now. It's really a moot point. Mm-hmm. Anyways, continue with this debacle.
Oh, man. So they decide, okay, let's go for the field goal, which,
That's something that boggles the mind.
Yeah, it boggles the mind.
That snap is something you thought you would have seen on Thanksgiving with the rain.
Oh, yeah. I mean, this was horrendous. And all of this, and they walk away with, they turn the ball over on downs, no points scored because of a bad snap that sails past Drew Willie. Boris Beda has to recover it, kick it just to down it, and just terrible. A lot of people are saying that's pretty much a microcosm. That whole sequence was a microcosm of the Montreal Alouettes season.
Yeah.
And it's so hard to dispute that. And
I said that on Twitter. As soon as it happened, I was like, yeah. And it didn't help. You know, it's funny. Last week, we were able to sit, Thanksgiving, we were able to sit in those nice seats, you and me, Cliff, and I was invited this past week to sit up in one of the loges. And no, I could care less, you know, about the game. I mean, I'm up there and, you know, I enjoyed it up there. But I like sitting with the common folk. But yeah, I mean, Schultz comes in. I actually was impressed on what he was able to do. You know, he started off 4 for 4, but yes, he had that interception in the end zone, but it took a great catch by the Hamilton defenseman to get that INT. So, you know, I thought he looked good.
Yeah. And of course, you can't play a Hamilton Tiger Cats game without mention against the Alouettes without mentioning Brandon Banks. Jesus. The guy lives to play against the Alouettes. You ever notice that?
Yeah.
In crucial games or games that have some sort of meaning to them. And this game was no different because this was the last home game of the 2017 season for fans here in Montreal. Like, this was Montreal's, this was the Alouettes' chance to at least try to end on a positive note, if nothing else.
Yeah.
And no, here comes Brandon Banks to spoil the party. And that's what he does. And he was left for dead under Kent Austin. But ever since June Jones took over as head coach of the Hamilton Tiger Cats, he's been, they breathed new life into Brandon Banks. And now he's actually being seen as a viable threat, which is pretty incredible, all things considered. Because I actually thought, too, yeah, this guy's finished. I don't see him coming back to being the player he used to be. But something about June Jones, man, he just seems to know how to get the most out of some of these players. And Brandon Banks is no exception. He played an absolutely fantastic game against the Alouettes. And that's just what he does. I don't know what it is about the Alouettes per se, but Brandon Banks just seems to be able to play his best football.
Yeah.
Whether it's in Montreal or in Hamilton, but whenever it comes to facing the Alouettes, I see a lot more highlight reel action out of Brandon Banks when he's playing Montreal.
And it got him the player of the week. So over 200 yards of total offense. Just to give some positive for anybody who care, when Schultz came in the second half, he went 15-22, 167. No touchdowns, but that one interception, I said that one interception was just by a great play. Terrell Sutton, actually, I mean, he was held to, you know, 10 rushes to 18 yards. Total different. Total different. Matt Schultz is actually our leading rusher.
Yeah.
Yeah, and yeah. B.J. Cunningham, let's see, he had the – sorry, Ernest Jackson, finally, 7 for 68. Cunningham, 5 for 60. Eugene Lewis, 4 for 73. I had forgotten that Eugene was activated. Hmm. So, I don't – you know, do we need to go over the Tiger Cat stats? I mean, 320 yards by Jeremiah Mazzoli.
Yeah, I mean, this is another one that, like I said – was just sort of dying on the vine, essentially, under Ken Austin, because Zach Caleros was the golden boy. He was supposed to be the franchise quarterback for years to come, and just ever since his injury has just not lived up to expectations. And a new coach comes in and decides, you know what? No, this guy's not working for me, so I'm going to put this other guy in who can understand my offense. And Give him credit. June Jones is, I think, now 5-3 as since taking over as head coach for the Tiger Cats, and has looked solid. I mean, the Tiger Cats. I mean, considering how they started this season off, I mean, from what they've been able to accomplish, I mean, that's fairly impressive. Even though they're not going to make the playoffs, just like the Alouettes and the BC Lions, but gotta give credit where it's due. I mean, he managed to reinvent this team, and I definitely think that they're going to hang on to him, and we'll see what happens as far as whether Kent Austin will still stay with the Tiger Cats, or if he decides to move on, or even if June Jones managed to do just well enough to really garner some interest down south as far as coaching opportunities go.
Yeah.
So it's going to be an interesting offseason for the Tiger Cats as well. And the big question for them has to be, well, we did so well with Jeremiah Mazzoli, and is it good enough to cast Zach Caleros aside? I mean, Zach Caleros is still a fairly young man and still has a decent arm. Like, can he recover, or does he just need a change of pace? Does he need a new scenario for him to go in and become that quarterback that everybody expected him to be in Hamilton?
Yeah. And the only thing that we can look forward to, I guess, for the positive for the next two games, B.J. Cunningham is within 40 yards of getting a 1,000-yard receiving season. And having that 18 yard game last week really is going to hurt, I think, the chances of Terrell Sutton getting to 1,000. He currently sits at 798 with two to go. I mean, it's doable, but he's only had two 100 yard games this year, so that may be tough. That may be tough right there to get to 1,000 yards. But I mean, the game itself. After talking with you, Cliff. It's not very often that we have these type of things here. I think it's just, we just seem to yammer and talk about the team as much as we can, but you specifically really had an issue with what happened this past week. And, I know you took to Twitter to mention some of it, but I think that there's something basically you wanted to get off your chest, because there's a lot of things that this Alouettes team has done and that you really wanted to just make your point and go ahead and do it. I mean, it's very rare that you really rant, but this one is well deserved. So the floor is yours, sir.
This Alouettes team deserves so much better. Its fans deserve so much better. Instead, it's a bottomless cesspool of despair and true malaise. I have very little confidence that Kavis Reid will be the one who will fix this mess. He's done absolutely nothing to inspire any confidence. The Montreal Alouettes lost to a team that started 0-8 and hired a coach who once turned a blind eye to rape. Yet Tiger Cat fans pity this team, this Alouettes team. And why? The Alouettes, they're the drunk girl at the party, stumbling around and throwing up all over herself. And everyone laughs at her because she's a mess. Listen, there's some bright spots on this team, believe it or not, but there's no direction. And these talented players and folks that are part of this organization are just going to die on the vine otherwise. It's a true embarrassment for supporters of this team, because how can you defend such abhorrent behavior? How do you find the positive? Take my blog. With my blog, I have strived to be honest and positive about the Montreal Alouettes. But this year has been extremely, extremely difficult to be positive. But this, sadly, was a long time coming. The Owls pissed away the opportunity to develop for the future because they truly thought Anthony Calvillo was going to play forever. That's really the impression I got, was that they thought Anthony Calvillo was going to play forever. You didn't have to save for a rainy day. And who do you blame that on? Poor ownership? Management with no clear vision? Selecting the wrong players to retain the services of? No wonder this team has fallen hard. And every time I think they hit rock bottom, they find a new way to sink to an even newer depth. It is beyond astounding what we've seen week in and week out. Let's be honest. Like many people, I watch football to escape the drudgery of real life. This is supposed to be entertainment. It's supposed to be fun. You're supposed to enjoy yourself watching football. But I feel so far from that, so very far from that feeling. At the end of the day, I'm more convinced than ever that this team needs to be completely flushed out. There is a lot of poison coursing through the veins of this team. Now, I'll make it clear. I will never desert this team, nor can I cheer for another football team. It's just not going to happen. This is 100% my team. I'll tell you right now, if the Alouettes folded tomorrow, I would just go back to my previous life of NFL only. I wouldn't bag on the league. I wouldn't bag on any of the other teams. I would just be like, wish you well, all the best, but I will not support any other team than the Montreal Alouettes. Why? Because I want this team to thrive. But with this management that they have in place, my faith that this whole organization, this ship, if you will get righted, my faith is completely shaken. Because what promise do I have? Oh, sure, the owners can offer up some very flowery answers every time Herb Zerkowski spits out his tape recorder. And he can, Lord knows if anyone can spin it into self-serving bullshit, it's Herb Zerkowski. And Kavis Reid, he can offer up these beautiful platitudes talking about how finding the right coach and the right environment is artistic. It's an art. It's a science. But at the end of the day, talk is cheap. And let me tell you, I've heard nothing but talk from this administration ever since 2013, when AC's head took a bounce off the ground in Regina, effectively ending his football career and starting the downward spiral of this Montreal Alouettes organization as we know it. It's been all sound and fury from these people, signifying nothing. Empty words repeated, often yelled sometimes, ad nauseum. And let me tell you, the message is tiresome. It's played out. This Montreal Alouettes football team went from being the model franchise of the Canadian Football League to a complete and utter joke. Except jokes are supposed to be funny. This isn't funny. This isn't fun or funny. So you know what? We're going to grit our teeth. And we're going to watch the Rough Riders and the Ticats put this Alouettes team over its knee and spank them furiously over the next two Fridays. And that's fine. We will take that. That's our fate. We'll take it. We'll grin and bear it. But so help me God. On November 5th, when the team cleans out their lockers and says their goodbyes, and we have the post postmortem, if you will, of the 2017 Alouette season, I swear there better be a real plan in place for 2018 and beyond. Because quite frankly, there is a limit to the amount of garbage that the fans of this football team is going to be willing to endure. In fact, I believe it's already reached its peak. Now, I'm not going to toss any more spiteful bombs at Andrew Wettenhall, Patrick Boivin, or even Kavis Reid anymore. I've said what I've had to say. I think I've made my point crystal clear on how I feel. They're the ones who made this mess, and if they can't clean it up, then they better find out who can and bow gracefully. Because quite frankly, what I've watched over the past couple of years is nothing short of pathetic. To tell you the truth, I wouldn't trust these men to successfully run a high school team, let alone what's supposed to be a professional football franchise. So that's where we're at. All right, CFL fans, laugh it up. Yeah, it's funny. Consequences, Joe Mack, any other memes that you've got? Sure, have some fun. Guess what? The Alouettes are f***ing garbage and deserve to be referred to as such. One day, this will be a proud football team again. It's a damn shame, though, that so much of this could have been avoided. I really, truly feel for the employees that have to endure this. The ones that work for this team, they didn't sign up for this. You know, the fans. The fans who went out and spent their hard-earned money on tickets, merchandise, and doing everything they can to make this a successful, fun venture. They don't deserve any of this nonsense. If nothing else, this Alouettes team has to do better for those people. I'm sick and tired of the journalists of this league treating this team like garbage and making them reporting on the fact that this is such a laughingstock. It sucks. But, I mean, what else is there to say? We may not like it, us fans and supporters, but the truth hurts. And believe me, there is no sugarcoating of this at all. So, anyways, sunny days ahead, keep the faith, yada, yada, yada. To summarize, the Montreal Alouettes are a poorly run mess, and someone better fix it before it's too late. At this point, I really, truly don't care who does it. That's it.
Looking for something different from your snacks? Grab a bag of Bad Monkey Popcorn. Bad Monkey Popcorn is produced locally in Montreal in a number of mouth-watering flavors that will have your taste buds wanting more after just one kernel. Now available throughout Quebec in most major grocery stores, independent outlets, and selected cities across Canada. For more information, head to badmonkeypopcorn.com.
Hey folks, we appreciate your continued support of the Alouettes Flight Deck podcast. You can find all of our previous episodes over on Podbean. Just head to alouettesflightdeck.podbean.com. You can also find us on iTunes and Google Play Music by searching the keywords Alouettes Flight Deck. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at @AlouettesFLDeck and check out our Facebook page at facebook.com/AlouettesFlightDeck. If you have any questions, comments, or concerns about the show, you can shoot us an email, alouettespodcast@gmail.com. Once again, thanks so much for listening.
Well, the home finale was this past weekend. That means that there are no more home games for the 2017 season, and the Alouettes HQ is now looking towards the 2018 home season. In order to have that home season, we need to make sure that we talk about tickets and what's coming up for the Alouettes for you who are season ticket holders and who may want to be season ticket holders. Again, joining us is Bernard Aslan, is the VP of marketing for the Montreal Alouettes. Thank you, sir, for joining us again.
You're welcome.
Now, I haven't received my information in the mail yet, but I know it's coming. But I have already seen the stuff that the Alouettes have released on social media and on their website. The team has done, I think, in my opinion, Bernard, some of the biggest changes to not only to the seating chart, but to the what's being offered to season ticket holders for the 2018 season. Is that a fair assessment?
It is. Oh, yeah, absolutely. I think it's probably the best sales and marketing plan in years at the Alouettes. And we're going to talk later about innovative products and experiences. But the first thing, and I was going to mention it to you earlier, price freeze. We froze the price on all ticket categories for 2018. Mm-hmm. So that was the first thing that we did this year. And I think it's the second or third year in a row that we've been doing that. So tickets with a normal price increase should have been 10% higher, but that's it. Same price that everybody's going to pay this year.
Now, any other changes when it comes to those who want to get season ticket holders? I think was the – I know there originally was a 6 payments that you could do, but did the team introduce – did they introduce a 12-payment deal for season ticket holders?
Absolutely. And you know what? As all the new products that we've launched this year, it's not me in my office with my beret looking outside the St. Catherine Street. I'm thinking of ideas. Like I said before – using research, using comments, using discussions that we have at the games or outside the stadium. And some people said, you know what, launching that 5-month payment plan that we did 2 years ago has been very popular. So this year we're offering a 12-month payment plan on your credit card. So every month you take a bit of money just to help you alleviate if you think that the price that you're paying is too expensive, and you just want to have a 12-month term for that product. And so it's just going to help, like I said, people. 5 months was pretty good. 12 months is another option if you want to have a longer payment plan.
Now, obviously, early bird is back, too. I've taken advantage of the early bird for years upon years upon years because I find that I get the best deal when it comes to that. The team has added an extra 5% for early bird. Is that correct?
That is absolutely correct. So it's still on for, I think, another week, because I can't remember. I got a blank here when we launched it. So it's available for probably another week, and then we go back to the early bird special, okay, which, depending on the category, it could be up to 40% discount, and that ends on December 8th. So the typical what we call tier payment that we do, except this year we've added that extra 5%, just for people to, you know what, it's a tough year. We're not living in a bubble. We feel the pain as well. And so we're just saying, guys, you know what, I said, let's offer an extra percentage discount for season ticket, just to show them, you know what, we're there, we like you, just come back. And if price is an issue, take advantage of it again for the next 2 weeks.
When we last spoke, you had talked about wanting to incorporate other ideas that you've seen from other teams in the league. These ideas that we've got now, are we sort of borrowing them from the other teams, or are we kind of incorporating them or sort of developing them on our own? Like what's been the thought process for this?
Yeah, it depends. The 12-month payment plan, I stole the idea from the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. Okay. Don't tell them. I don't want to pay any royalties to them. So it's working pretty good at their end. So we kind of tweaked it a little bit, but essentially that's where the idea came from. I just found out the limit, the date for the super early bird pricing with the additional 5%, mm-hmm, it's November 3rd.
Okay.
So, but back to your question, Cliff, some ideas we stole, other ideas we just did it. And we started back in August. So this is not like something we've been working on for a week. And the nice thing is that a guy from research just spitted everything we heard that the fans wrote down. And we had brainstorm sessions. Everybody in marketing and sales and events participated in this exercise. So that's what I'm saying. It's a real team effort. And I'm pretty happy. It's probably the best plan. So back to your original question, taking a long time here. Some of the new experiences are based on the mindset of consumers. You know what? Just instead of selling, okay, you're going to be sitting in section W1, row 9, seat 5 and 6, and you're going to be on the 40-yard line on the south side. There's not a lot of emotions, right? You will agree with me. This is very technical. So what we wanted to do is for fans that are looking for something of like a different experience, just telling them buy something in W1, row 9, seat, whatever, I mean, doesn't do the job. So what we've done is we've separated the different experiences based on your mindset. For example, for super and social fans, we have now a gourmet barbecue terrace. under the giant screen for $99 tax included. And we've got these barbecue gurus that were at the tailgate from Barbecue Quebec. Those kids were not even 30 years old, doing tailgates in the States and in France, coming in stadium to do great barbecue food for every game of the season. So you're a gourmet person, you're in the East End zone, you just go there and you have a thrill. And you have your own concession stand. You don't have to go back on the south or the north side. There's something just for you. The second one is a general admission section in L2. L2 is on the north side, right at the beginning of the curb there, on the a bit higher, and 300 seats in there, general admission. Season ticket is $21 a game, and we're looking to do animation with agitators because there's a nice platform at the bottom of this. So every game, chanting, having fun for $21 a game. Some people keep saying that the prices are too high. About 10% of the seats in the stadium are going to be at a lower price. So you know what, that argument, prices are too high, it's no longer valid.
Yeah.
The last one, and we tested it on Sunday, it's the Superfan in V2 with a Superfan named Doug Ford, who's doing the chanting and routines and move the yardstick and singing, and they have free seat backs, and they had a blast on Sunday. So, and you know what that idea came from? I kept hearing from fans throughout the stadium, Bernard, I'm surrounded by boring people. I want to have fun. I want to be part of a gang. So give me something. Now they can all go in that 50-seat super fan section on the upper deck in B2. And some people, you know what? Some people might just change seat because they want to go there and have fun. So those were for the super and social fans. For what I call the KISS people, to keep it simple. Simplicity and all-you-can-eat stadium food section in Z2. Z2 is on the upper deck, the last section on the south side, the southwest, actually. And all-you-can-eat section, there's a nice area behind that section, a dead end where you're going to be served food, probably with a bracelet. So, you know, I want to go to a stadium, Bernard. I don't want to do the lineups. It's complicated. My three teenagers are eating like ogres. Give me something. So that's why we're going there for, and seriously, it's a steal. For a season ticket, we're only asking for $64 tax in. All you can eat. So if you got teenagers out there, that's the place to be. The other category of people, you know, we have a lot of corporations or companies coming to the game to do business, smoothing, networking. So we've created a business alliance club. So about 100 people that have access to the historical Douglas Hall behind the north side around the east section. That's the historic McGill building. And they have food, cocktail. They know who's going to be there. So networking tools. And they're going to be sitting in H2. H2 is basically on the 50-yard line. Just below that white tent, the Club 55 that we have.
Yes.
And we're planning to install real seats like we have in the club seat at the bottom of the south side. So about 100 seats, between 80 and 100, just down there so they can watch the game there. And you know what? If they don't want to watch the game and they just want to sign that big contract with someone they met, they can stay at Douglas Hall in the third quarter. Again, with a bit of food and drinks. If companies don't want to be part of the business club, we're going to create corporate tailgating with personalized tents at the tailgate. So you can welcome guests, 10 people, food included, excluding booze. And for example, that one, Cliff, we stole from the Carolina Panthers.
Oh, nice.
It's so easy for companies to do that. And the tailgate, my God, when I arrived at the game yesterday, I was just looking at the atmosphere and the barbecues and the music, and you know what? It's magic. So I think it's a nice product. So those products for either businesses, simplicity, and I think I think we've called it the bang for your buck section. No, that's the terrace. I'm sorry, the all-you-can-eat section. Bang for your buck is the barbecue terrace under the giant screen. So those really, I think, is going to attract people looking specifically for a specific experience in the stadium. Now, besides that, there's also the new all-access RFID card.
Yes.
So the card, no more paper card. So we talked about that. Check. That's done. And we're working on something else for season ticket, exclusive for season ticket members, an app for in-seat ordering for your food and bev.
Oh, except, beautiful.
Nice.
And that's learning from about 6 or 7 or 8 years ago. Because the Alouettes had an in-seating app, and the length of our rows are sometimes up to 40 seats. If you're sitting in seat 20 and you've ordered 5 times one hot dog, you might not be friends with the people sitting at seat number 1 to number 18 because they got to pass that food to you.
I was about to say, I'm in seat 1 and seat 2. I know exactly what you're talking about.
Oh, my God. So what we're working on is to have pickup stations. So you would have pickup stations on the upper deck, lower deck on the south side, and on the north side, and you just go to a tent, and you'll get a text message saying, Cliff, your bag of 5 hot dogs and 5 beers is ready. Come pick it up. And there'll be a bag with a sticker on it saying, Cliff, from Flight Deck, your order is here. Your credit card would be embedded in the app in advance. You just pick your bag, and you do whatever you want. You go back to your seat, or you eat somewhere else. You're going to avoid the lineups.
That's amazing.
So,
that is fantastic.
So, you know, all of these things. So we hope that this, at least, people will appreciate that. And it's taking care of some of the reasons why people are canceling. Long lineups. Okay, you'll get the app. Too expensive. I can't afford a payment. Okay, now you got 12 payments. I want to have fun. I want to have a gourmet experience. Just go with Barbecue Quebec. So there's kind of a reason just to tell the fans, guys, this is not a reason anymore because we have a solution for you.
Exactly.
So that's where we're going in 20. We're pretty happy. It's probably like I'm counting here about 9 to 10 new innovations in 2018.
Now you were just a question to ask about the food there, Bernard. It doesn't matter where you're going to be sitting. You will be able to use the app from any section of the stadium. Is that what you're saying?
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah. If you're in P1, you are allowed to use the app. So we'll have the screen who downloads the app from the App Store, for example, and it will triple check that you're really a season ticket member.
Right.
And then you can use it. And we'll tell you where is the closest pickup station. And it should be pretty easy. And you see, that idea, Cliff, is customized to the 1914 McGill Stadium. It's not a brand new stadium. So because of the length of the road, because of different reasons, we think it's the best. And I'm not going to say compromise because it's the best option that we can offer right now.
Right.
In 2018 to our fans.
Okay. Well, I have a question for you now. I've noticed. Actually, two things based on what you said. First, for the first time since that I can remember, there have been some major price changes or modifications to seating prices, specifically in the upper deck sections. For instance, all on the south side, I think it's all the except for Y2, X2, W2, et cetera, et cetera. And then on the other side, there are some changes. What besides adding the new sections, Bernard, what was the reasoning behind making the modifications now after all these years at keeping those prices the way they are?
Okay. So let me tell you, first of all, what kind of prices are going down.
Okay.
So I have a list of 4 things. So for kids between the age of 4 and 16, it's now going up to 58% off if they show up with an adult. So a ticket in section N2, for example, is going to be $10. If you're a student, the discount goes from 20 to 30% off in the white, blue, bronze, down at $15. And we've introduced a season Blitz Pass, mm-hmm. Which is for $149. So, okay, let me repeat again. $149. You're going to be sitting in the white, blue, bronze section, but we'll send you your ticket 48 hours before the game.
Okay.
So, you know, we're going to be in the area. But you know what? It comes to $14.90 a game.
Yeah.
My goodness. So again, it's affordable. It's easy. And we think that's going to be successful. The other thing, and I think that was one of your comments, the top six rows of, like, that are located in the middle section, like on the 50-yard line, for example.
Yeah.
The top six rows. What we noticed is the perception of fans was, you know what, this is not worth. Those are nosebleed, even though you're right at the 55-yard line. And it shouldn't be priced at the same price than the guy sitting in the first row. So what we've done is we've taken the last six rows of the three sections. So take the 55-yard line and go in the middle and take 1, 2, 3, the one middle and the one to the left, the one to the right, on both sides, north side and upper deck. And we've decreased the price of those last six rows. Because the perception, even though it's like a very good seat right on the 50-yard line, the perception of most of the fans, that it's not worth the same dollar. So we just brought the price down a bit to make sure people would sit there and it would have a good time.
I do know from what we're seeing here, Bernard, is that obviously with being a season ticket holder, you still get up to a maximum of 20% discount at food concession stands and at the Red Zone stores. You're going to get still the $250 credit redeemable for individual game tickets, which Cliff, you and I both took advantage of this year. Exclusive gifts for season ticket holders. The private pregame tailgate, which I had to miss this year, but I hope to attend this year. And I know there are some small other things that are done, I think, for pregame, postgame specials that are done. Not, I don't think every year, but, you know, like being on the field pregame, being on the field postgame. There are many options when you are a season ticket holder, no matter if you're year one or, like myself, if you're year 22.
That's right. One thing we actually improved this year is the referral program. So the referral program is, you got two options. Your neighbor wants to come. You send him to us. He's mentioning your name. So, Cliff, you said, I don't know what to say. I don't know what to do. Well, maybe get your neighbor in the stadium. Option one is you would receive 25% of the net value of the membership purchase by your referral in cash. So real cash or check. And option two, I feel like I'm Bob Barker on the prices right here.
$1. $1.
That's right. Is to receive 50% of the net value of the membership purchased by your referral in Alouette dollars. So Alouette dollars is exchangeable for additional tickets, including your membership renewal, or at the concession stands and official in-stadium Alouette shop. So your neighbor buys a season ticket, I'm going to round it up to $1,000. Either you're going to get $250 cash or $500 in Alouette dollars. So we've kind of boosted up. So we think that people will take advantage of that. In the past, people would just do some referrals without taking advantage of these two options that are going to be implemented this year. But we just feel that, you know what, help us, we'll help you. Scratch my back, I'll scratch yours.
Right. You mentioned it earlier before, and you want to at least touch on it before we finish our talk here. What is going to go into these new cards? I know we talked about it at length in our last conversation, and not only will these cards be your season ticket, they will be your ticket. They will be you'll be able to pay with certain things on it, because I read it's going to be have an RFID chip in it. What will the season ticket holder without obviously giving everything away, because, you know, I'm sure you want to keep some things secret until we receive our tickets in May or June. What can the season ticket holder expect to receive and be able to do with this new card?
So you talk, obviously, season ticket or ticket, game ticket. Number two, a payment solution. Number three, earlier you talked about the discount at food concession, 20% if you're an all-star legend, it's going to be embedded in the card. So there's no other card that you're going to have to take out your wallet. That card is going to do everything. You just show up at the concession, and either, depending on the concession, because we still have some manual concession in the fan zone, but we're working on that, just show it, bip, bip, your 20% is deducted from your invoice. You don't have to get a credit card out because you paid for it. And if, again, if you use the in-seat app, it's not even, what we're saying is not relevant anyway.
Right.
So because you're going to get the stuff at the pickup station. It's going to be easier for you when you attend those events, the legend thing. You just show up with your card on the lanyard and you get in there, meet the team that we've done in July for the past 2 years. It's just so easy. It's simplicity. People are looking for simplicity. Make it easy for them. Mm-hmm. And the other thing is, as we discussed, right now with your account manager, you can print out tickets. If you're a company and you don't want to pass these cards because your corporate credit card is on it, you can print tickets at the office. We have videos that we're finalizing just to, like, a tutorial to help people do that themselves. Saskatchewan, Vancouver, Winnipeg, and that kind of all-access season ticket member card is becoming the norm everywhere in North America.
Right.
As a result of our last conversation, you and your team managed to put together an email address, suggestions@montrealalouettes.com, for fans that want to get in touch with you guys as far as improving the in-game experience. I know it's only been a couple of weeks since this has been implemented, but have you started seeing any major changes, seeing some stuff that you really want to implement as a result because of what fans are contributing to it?
Yeah, so we've received emails, and this is just another channel, right, for people to tell us stuff and suggestions. The vast majority keeps going to their account manager in the sales department. So they give them the ideas, and it's funneled down. And it's funny, they're in the second floor, marketing's on the first floor. It's funneled down to the research department, who's gathering everything, and we get weekly reports on ideas. So, yes, it's working. It's for those who do not want to use one specific channel with their salesperson, and they use the other one. So it's working. We're pretty happy about it.
That's fantastic. I have been strongly suggesting to everybody that if you're not happy with something, if you're not happy with whether it's in-game experience or prices or what have you, I've been telling people, like, go ahead, write that email. They want to hear, the team wants to hear from you, and you never know. It's just, you could just might have the right idea that's going to get everybody excited on the team, and they're going to want to implement it. So, and I'll say that again to all of our listeners, that if you do have any honest to goodness constructive criticism or concerns or anything like that, or anything that you think that can help improve the experience for the Montreal Alouettes and for you the fans as well, by all means, hit them up at suggestions@montrealalouettes.com.
That's right.
Well, we really appreciate your time again, Bernard. Thanks for joining us, and we hope you enjoy your off season.
You're welcome. Thank you so much, guys.
So I know we were going to try and talk about it last week, but we decided to hold off for the season ticket information because we were able to get Bernard on, and we thank him once again. As we mentioned to him off air after our interview, Cliff, it's we're happy to see that the team is very transparent in a lot of these things, and that's what I'm happy to see. Some people can we've had some fans in the past just really ream on the front office, but it's happy to see at least we can get some information like this when it comes to showing that the team can be fan friendly. I guess people can have their own thoughts on if that's true or not, but just by looking at what they did for the 2018 season tickets or what they've lined up, it does look like one of the better options when it comes to the past years for season tickets for the Alouettes.
Yeah, and the fact that there's so many different things, there really truly is something for everybody, which I think is fantastic, because let's face it, there has been a lot of things to be criticized about, and I think the Alouettes have they've got to endure their fair share of criticism on a lot of things when it comes to providing the fan experience. I've been very critical about them in the past, but I'm also willing to give credit where it's due. And I got to say, hats off to the organization for coming up with a lot of these ideas. I'm really curious to see how it's going to unfold for the 2018 season. And tell you what, folks, I know that the product on the field hasn't been great this year. God and country willing, this will get better. The football ops part of things will get better. And if it does, you'll automatically have a great option to go to when it comes to your season tickets, because whatever you're looking for, it sounds like there is something almost for everybody. So if nothing else, this stadium's got to get filled again, because I've said it before and I'll say it again. Once you get this stadium packed with people, it is rocking and people are having a good time and enjoying themselves. And if there's winning football involved, so much the better. So all we can do, I think, at this point now, there's great packages available. There's going to be great stuff happening. Hopefully we'll hire some decent coaches and put together a winning team again.
Yeah. Now
I think the big thing now is just no Thursday games.
Yeah. And going forward, by the way, very good segue into something I wanted to ask you about. There was a report this week saying that there are possibly two names that have emerged or maybe in the lead, front runners for the new head coaching job, and I wanted to know what your opinions on. And one I've talked about for many weeks, and and at the games and off air, and one would be Paul LaPolice, and the other one is actually very surprising, but not after I thought about it, is Clay Brooks from Calgary Stampeders.
Yeah, Devon Clay Brooks. He's currently the defensive coordinator for the Calgary Stampeders, and I don't think we have to tell everybody just how dominant Calgary has been over the past few years. You can credit that to John Huffnagel, and just the way that he runs this organization is nothing short of spectacular. The results are there. I mean, Calgary has been a consistent winner year in and year out. I mean, there's no denying that whatsoever. And the fact that Devon Claybrooks has slowly risen up through the ranks. Could you imagine that, Tim? Develop a former player, decides he wants to be a coach, and he develops up slowly. Like he retired, I think, in 2011, if I'm not mistaken. We're 2017 now. So, I mean, he's been coaching now, or at least out of the game, for 5+ years. And he's been coaching the past, I want to say, 3 years in Calgary. CFL Horseman, if I'm wrong, please forgive me. But Devon Claybrooks has put in the time and dedicated himself to becoming a coach. He wasn't given the coaching reins like overnight. Don't you think that's a crazy concept?
Crazy, crazy concept.
It just sounds to me like that's what a professionally run organization would do, is slowly take a guy who wants to be a coach and slowly bring him up through the ranks. And only now is Devon Claybrooks being considered for possible head coaching vacancies. And I'll tell you what, just the way that he coaches the Stampeders defense, could he translate that into a head coaching job? Maybe. And it's one thing that Montreal never has lacked for in the past few years is defense, but we don't have an Noel Thorpe anymore. So this defense has not looked great these past few weeks. And maybe this is a chance to sort of reestablish that defensive identity. Whereas I still believe that offense is still going to be the key more than anything else when it comes to the head coaching position. That would be my only concern when it comes to Devon Claybrooks, because we know what we're getting with Paul LaPolice offensively.
Yeah.
So now I guess we have to ask ourselves, if we were going to choose between one of these two coaches, what's more important, the offensive mind of Paul LaPolice or the defensive prowess of Devon Claybrooks?
Well, maybe both. I mean, which would be cool to have, but they were talking that there are a couple of issues. Really, the one that would be available to us now because his contract is up would be Paul LaPolice. Claybrooks is still under contract, I think, with Stampeders for another 2 years after the 2017 season. So the Alouettes would need permission in order to talk to him. So, I don't see him going from a lateral position unless he really would like to coach under LaPolice. So I don't know.
And a lot of people are saying that Paul LaPolice, like, he took that position as offensive coordinator in Winnipeg, and it was a bit of a shock because a lot of people felt that if he was going to come back to the coaching ranks, it was going to be to run his own show, to be a head coach again. And a lot of people thought, okay, well, maybe he's just kind of lying in wait for Mike O'Shea, because there was that little time period, I think after his first season, where a lot of people were kind of shaky on whether O'Shea was going to get it, like get the things back on track. And he did, to his credit. So now it's to the point where, okay, Winnipeg has become a fantastic football team. Offensive prowess is incredible. What Lapolis has done with Matt Nichols is nothing short of outstanding. And maybe Lapo is thinking, well, you know, I'm pretty much the one who's done this, and O'Shea's the one getting all the credit because he's the head coach. So
yeah,
maybe Lapo kind of wants to run his own show again. So that if that's the case, then he has to take a look at what he's got, what he would have in Montreal. And if he's allowed free reign to choose his own staff and not be saddled with any of the current coaches that are on staff, I'd be curious to see just what Paul Lapolis could do here in Montreal.
It will be interesting to see. As I said, it's going to be a very interesting offseason. Yes, we got two more weeks to go, and we don't want to forget about that. But we already have to look forward to it, because it's already been said that, you know, Kavis is not going to be the head coach next year. And I think this, with these names popping up now, I think it just goes to show that it looks to be serious.
Well, I think just the past few weeks of watching him trying to coach this team has proven that he's dead serious about not wanting to be a coach. I mean, it's almost a course into how not to secure a head coaching job in the Canadian Football League, because, again, I go back to this past Sunday, opting to go for a field goal when you're down so many points. That to me is not what a head coach does. That is powerfully bad coaching. I mean, you can take as many shots as you want at Kavis, and many of them are deserved. But I mean, coaching decisions if there is even an inkling, a thought that maybe Kavis should be the head coach, those are long have evaporated. And this past Sunday was just yet an example as to why Kavis Reid should not be head coach of the Montreal Alouettes.
Yeah, I agree with you. I agree with you too. And I think it's just a matter of how this team is going to be rebuilt. You know, the Alouettes are offering these things, you know, as for season tickets, all these new sections, you know, some changes in the pricing structures, which I think is one of the best things I think that they could have done. We're rebuilding. It's a rebuilding team, but you know, if we lose this week to Saskatchewan, the Alouettes will get the number one pick overall in the CFL draft. There are a lot of quarterbacks that are going to be free agents and that are going to be available this year. So it will be an interesting offseason, and it may take a name coach who players know, respect, and like in order for them to come to Montreal.
I agree. And I pretty much said, as I said, my rant in any of these other podcasts and that, my faith in Kavis right now is pretty well shaken as far as general manager. Essentially, this is his get out of jail free card. He can make the reasoning that, well, I wasn't allowed to choose my own people. I was forced to keep Jacques Chaplain and all these other coaches. Okay, fine. This is your get out of jail free card. You got to hit a home run with this head coaching hire. You cannot screw this up. I don't care who you got to hire, and if they want free, you got to give them free reign. You got to let them hire who they want to hire. You got to let them put together the best possible people. As I've said before, you got to let your football people make football decisions. That's why I'm so aggravated at how the Wettenhall family has interjected themselves into the mix when it comes to making football decisions, because I don't think they can make football decisions. None of the ones that they've made in the past have worked out. So you know what? You've got to trust the people in place. And if you truly think Kavis Reid is going to be the guy that's going to lead this team back to glory, okay, let him try, but let him do it properly at least. At least give him the benefit of the doubt. Do I think he deserves it? Again, like I said, I'm very much 50-50 on this. But if this is what you've committed to, then so be it. And make the right choice, Kavis. I don't know who you've got in mind. I know you've got this artistic, scientific way of determining who's the next head coach is going to be. Oh God, why do we let him talk?
It's not Moneyball. We don't have enough money in the CFL to make it Moneyball. So it's, you know what? We've seen bad choices made by the owners. We've seen bad choices or suggestions made by the GMs. Get together. Obviously, the Wettenhalls will be the final say in this. Just get it right. I agree with you. Just get the damn thing right, because we got to start rebuilding. We need a, not necessarily, you know, we, you know, as much as it was, Cliff, the change with Mark Trestman coming in here, that was probably one of the most biggest changes that this team has ever had and the most outside of the box choice for head coach. But the problem is that obviously AC was still the quarterback. Not really a problem, Ryan, mind you. So I think, you know, you understand what I'm saying. Something of that effect, but bring in somebody who's qualified. And the offseason will, be what the offseason is.
Yeah. And people are like asking, like, well, which players do we go after? Which free agents are we interested in? I'm like, well, it really doesn't matter at this point. You got to walk before you run. Like, it doesn't matter. Like, you bring in whoever you want as players. But I mean, at the end of the day, they got to be able to work with this coach. So this is why I say the coaching decision is so important right now. Hire the right head coach, let them do their job, and everything else will fall into place. And it's at that point. And again, if they have player personnel issue or suggestions that they want to make, you got to listen to them too. I mean, if this new head coach decides that player A, player B, player C doesn't work, whether they're longtime fan favorites or if they're perennial busts or anything like that, like if they believe they can get the most out of these players, then you got to trust what the coach is talking about. I mean, that's what a GM has to do. It has to work together with the head coach. Everything's got to go in sync. And then supposedly that was the reason why the Reed Chapdelaine marriage didn't quite work out, because they weren't quite on the same page on a lot of the football decisions. So bring in your guy and it's got to work. That's all there is to it. You got to pick the best possible coach. That's all there is to it.
Yeah, no, I agree. Quickly switching to some CFL news before we try to preview this game coming up with the Green Riders. Commissioner Ambrosi had another one of his sit down open mic sessions, so to speak, as we call it that, on Facebook. His second before his fan State of the Union at Grey Cup in Ottawa. And some interesting things came up in the actual conversation. And one of the ones was actually the very first one, in where that it was announced, and I guess we'll hear more about it as when the game grows near, is that the league is going to be taking a page of the from the Arena Football League, and I'll explain, where they're going to have the command center basically be what they're going to be doing is going to be open to the public, so to speak. Open mic, camera, etc. And it, unfortunately, it is only, from what we're hearing, it's only going to be done in stadium in Hamilton for this one particular pilot project, which I don't get. I really don't get. I understand there may be some limitations to this, Cliff, but you know, this is something that was brought up a few weeks ago. I even asked the question during the conversation when it was the commission's first press conference and the head of officials. I brought up something similar to this. And I'm glad it's nice to see that they're actually looking into this type of thing for more transparency. But in my opinion, Cliff, and I'll find out what you think here in a couple of minutes, is I think this won't be really be a true test of this new thing. If they're going to do this where the command center is going to be what they do is going to be able to be scrutinized and seen by everybody as they do it. You need to be able to have it available to the masses. I don't think it will actually – I like the idea, but I don't think it's going to work well in stadium, because as you and I both know, Cliff, I think we get more of a context when we're watching it on TV. And I think that's where – it's how the Arena Football League does it's perfect. It's on TV. It's the way that it should be, where you're able to hear the banter between the refs and the truck to see what they have to review, et cetera, et cetera. I know it's slightly different because there's a command center in CFL, but I think until they actually roll it out – maybe if they have a chance that they can stream it, do something, make sure that it's available to everybody. You really can't use just it's a start, but I think they would need to go a little bit more with this pilot project in order to see how it works, because I don't think it's going to work in stadium at all. It won't be the same as it would be, and I think as it should be on television.
Yeah, it makes absolutely sense what you're saying. I mean, I think again, this is just the CFL trying to paint themselves as innovative and trying to be a little more fan friendly by trying to get the fans involved in it to at least get them to see the process, a little bit of the process, kind of pulling back the curtain just a little bit. Like you said, it's not ripping it wide open for everybody to see. And I don't think this is going to translate too well onto television. I just, again, it could be wrong. Maybe we just haven't gotten all the details of it. I mean, let's not forget, this was just sort of a comment made on a Facebook chat. So let's take it for what that's worth. I think it's a great way to generate interest in this game, because otherwise it's the Tiger Cats and the Alouettes and they're playing for absolutely nothing. So that's probably one of the reasons why they decided to roll this out for this particular game. Because I couldn't imagine them trying to do something like this for a playoff game. I think the logistics just wouldn't quite work out. So, yeah, I think this is how you got to look at it. It's strictly a pilot project. It's just a test run. It's just throwing stuff against the wall and seeing what sticks. And I think that's how you got to take a look at it. Like you said, as far as as the transparency goes with the Arena Football League, I'm sure they must have had to do some trial and error with that as well. And trying to get that right. And again, it's a step in the right direction. I think that's how we've got to look at it here. I don't know just how it's going to translate in the stadium. I mean, again, I guess this is all the more reason why they want you to go to the game, because otherwise there's nothing much to play for. There's nothing much of interest for this particular football game.
Right. But yeah,
so why not, it's like a preseason, so why not go and see this? Why not go and see this potentially innovative thing happen right before your eyes?
Yeah.
But
now,
I agree.
By the way, you said earlier it wouldn't work well on TV. Did you actually mean to say it didn't work? It wouldn't work well on in the stadium like you just did? Did you misspeak before? Because you're saying, from what I'm understanding, you're saying it won't work on TV and in stadium. I just want to clarify.
Well, I guess because, well, again, and I think we're just speculating at this point, because we really don't truly know how it's going to be played out on the stadium. And as a result, I don't think, or as far as I know, we're not going to see any of this interaction if we're watching the game at home. So
we won't. We've been told already that what's happening at the game will only be happening in stadium. That's why I said I don't think it, because the pilot project right now is only going to be in stadium. It won't be the same. I think this, hopefully this is just the first step and them expanding it, because I think anything like this needs to be shown on television to the masses, because you can just speculate what's going to be shown.
Right. And that's kind of how I feel, is that that's how you have to look at it. It's just, this is step one in hopefully a multiple step process as far as the ultimate goal of, like you said, giving that transparency between the command center and the television audience, and also to the people in the stadium as well. Like, you got to include everybody in this, as far as I'm concerned, if you want this project to truly flourish.
Yeah. So I'm looking forward to if it can expand more. I'm just disappointed that they're not able to show it on television for whatever particular reason. But maybe it's just something that, as you said, it's the first step of everything. Did you take anything away from his that really interests you in the commissioner's second, I guess we can say, unofficial town hall Q&A?
It was Q&A. It seemed like it was the usual stuff. I mean, it's, again, you're always going to get the questions about expansion. And there was actually someone actually had a really interesting idea that I think kind of piqued Randy Ambrosi's interest, was to help grow the game down in the States, to get more people watching on ESPN2 and ESPN3, would be to have sort of a CFL festival, if you will, down in the States, where you play game, like CFL teams play games in an American city, like, for example, St. Louis, who doesn't have a football team anymore, to try and draw interest for American viewers. I thought, well, that is kind of interesting. I think that would be I don't know how exactly it would all work out, and obviously would mean that CFL fans would lose out on preseason games potentially if they were to do this, say, before the season started. But by and large, it's a wacky enough idea that I think you could actually make it work. As far as trying, if the interest is to grow the game down in the States and get more people watching, it's just one of those ideas that just might be wacky enough to work.
I don't know. I think it's where they have CFL Week, and we know it's going to Winnipeg this year. I don't know. I think one of the things that actually intrigued me, they talk about expansion, and there's this story that came out recently. I can't remember if it was the Post or whatnot. They're talking about this company in Nova Scotia that is in charge of what they're called pop-up stadiums. And what they're going to be doing is, because I think they're bidding for something up in Nova Scotia, this soccer tournament. And what they're going to do is this pop-up stadium is going to be erected in a community soccer field and play. It'll only be 7,000 seats. but it gives you an idea of, can this work, you know, for the CFL? You know, if a team is finally, would it lead to that infamous 10th team in the CFL? Mm-hmm. I thought that was quite interesting.
Another good idea too that I heard about was trying to have more CFL game, like preseason games, in non-traditional markets, in markets where there might be potential interest in having a CFL team. And I think that too would be a fantastic idea, because let's be honest, most people don't give a rat's ass about the preseason. And I think if you were to take these preseason games out of your traditional stadiums and put them in smaller cities to help try and grow the game, even in those very same provinces, as long as you're not being crazy about it, I can't imagine too many fans would be too upset. I mean, let's be honest, diehard football fans will want to watch preseason games, but I'd say most of the season ticket holders kind of don't care about the preseason game, but you still have to pay full price for it, which I think is atrocious, to be honest with you. I would just as soon say not charge fans for that preseason ticket, leave it open as an option to buy, and then do have those preseason games in smaller communities in an attempt to grow the game. I think that would be something that would really be worth looking into if I'm the commissioner.
Yeah, for sure. It's interesting either way. I mean, I won't be at the one in Ottawa. I'm guessing you will, and a couple of my friends are. So it could be curious to see what he comes up with when he talks to the fans for the first time as the CFL commissioner. So heading into this week's game, check the line, and I'm actually floored about this. The Green Riders are actually favored by 17 points. Yeah, this is the second time this year that the Alouettes are going to be favored by this many points. It was to Calgary a few weeks back. We saw the same result. It's funny. I don't think the Owls are going to win. I know they have a chance to play, technically, spoiler. Darian Durant's final say, if it is his final say, being able to lead the Owls to a win and break all these streaks that they currently have. I don't think they're going to win, but I think the seven is funny, and I'm bitching about points. 17 points to me, it's too high. It really is too high. This is not the same type of team. Saskatchewan is not Calgary. I'm sorry, Green Rider fans. Even though you did beat them last week, it's not the same. You're not the same team. Calgary deserved to be a 17 and a half point favorite. You do not deserve to be a 17 point favorite at all. just look. I'm sorry. Quarterback situation is completely different. Completely different. So I think, you know, it's that aside, I said, I think they will lose, but I mean, it's the Owls got to stop something, man. They're on the track for setting so many damn records, negative records, and it's hard to, you know, I do tweet them out once I do compile them on Twitter, and it's just, they got to do something, anything. I don't know. Maybe you go with a dual tandem and activate Rutley also. Go with two running backs. I don't know.
Well, and to me, I really think this game is just going to come down to, it's the homecoming for Darian Durant. Whether or not it's going to be his last game at that stadium, it's the stadium essentially that Darian Durant helped build, when you think about it. It's kind of funny that the first game that he will play in that game is with a different team other than Saskatchewan Roughriders, but that's just the way it works out sometimes.
Yeah, I know.
Whether I think this is going to be his last or his first and only time playing at New Mosaic Stadium, I mean, that's anybody's guess, to be honest with you. But you take a look at what the Saskatchewan Roughriders team is doing, and they are trending in the right direction, and Montreal is not. let's call it what it is. I mean, I think 17 points, I hate to say it, but it actually seems right to me.
Even if you go by the averages that the Owls are scoring versus what they're giving up this year, it's not. It's not. That's not even 17 points. It's 31 versus 19, almost 20.
I just take a look at these scores that we've been seeing these past few games, and again, Montreal had 40 plus points laid on them by Hamilton of all teams.
I know.
So I mean, and Hamilton is still, by and large, I mean, they're better than they were, but that's still not very good. Saskatchewan, though, I mean, there's not a whole lot of faults to be found there. I mean, you can say what you will about their quarterbacking situation, but they do just enough to win. And defense is on point. The receivers are clicking. I mean, like I said, everything they've got going is fantastic. And two words, folks, Daron Carter. Daron Carter, defensive football genius.
Something, yeah.
I joked about this. I was on the Piffles pod and talking with the folks there, and I just said, yeah, Montreal is going to get destroyed, quite frankly, and Daron Carter is going to have a field day. I think he's been looking at, like, he's been looking at this date for a long time, and he'll never admit to it, but I think a little part of him has got to be licking his chops at the thought of facing this Alouettes team, especially in the state that they're in right now. I mean, you talk about vulnerable. I see Daron definitely going in for the kill for this one, and it would not surprise me in the least to see him score a touchdown on offense, on defense, and hell, he may even just take one back for like a kick return. I could see him take one back to the house. It would not surprise me in the least.
Yeah. I will leave you. I will leave everybody with this, and you're talking about this. So the Owls through last week have given up 40 points or more in the regular season this year for the fifth time. It actually ties the 1960 team record. That's how bad it is. And the team itself, they've lost 9 straight games. If they lose, they will break the regular season record for longest losing streak in the season in Alouettes team history. And last but not least, we're talking about points here, Cliff. The Alouettes so far, Cliff, have given up 510 points this year, right? So it's an average of 31.9. That's crazy in itself. 31.9 points per game through 16 games. The team record was 532 in 1997 when they were 13-5. That's the big anomaly in that one. But they're on a pace right now, Cliff, at that, to shatter the team record for most points given up in a single season.
It's unbelievable. I mean, and after years of touting this team as being a defensive powerhouse, defensive powerhouses don't give up 30-plus points per game. So that narrative's out the window. Offensive play calling is beyond pathetic. So I think we've pretty much decided who should be coaching and who should not be coaching this Alouettes team going forward. I mean, again, this truly is an example, a crash course, if you will, on how not to run a football team on the field. And again, I think a lot of these players really, truly have mentally checked out. A lot of them I know we're not going to be seeing next year. And now I really hope that some of these bright spots that I've been talking about, I just hope that they can continue to perform. I hope they can continue to make the case that, hey, just because this team sucked doesn't mean we do. We still want to prove ourselves. We still want to be on this team and help be part of making it better than it has been. Mm-hmm. So I really hope those players will get a chance to shine. And again, I always say the cream rises to the top. So I hope those players will get a chance to showcase what they can do. And as I say, you're playing for a job for next year. That's pretty much how you got to look at it now. So these players that, again, with so many players being 30 years and older, they've got to start proving, too, that they're not washed up, that they still have that desire that they did when they were younger, and they still belong on this team. So I think there's a lot of proving that needs to be done this Friday, and I really hope, if nothing else, like you, I don't think this team is going to win. I don't think it's even going to be close, quite frankly. I just want the players on this team to step up and prove that they belong. And I think the ones that will do that, those are the ones you're going to be seeing in 2018. The ones that don't, well, they're either going to be out of this game or playing elsewhere. Simple as that.
Yeah. So the game is on Friday, TSN. Friday Night Football. You're possibly looking at some of the members of the 2018 Montreal Alouettes. So
that's what it is.
So we will talk to you guys next week. We want to thank Bernard Islam for joining us and giving us some insight on the season tickets. I know, Cliff, I won't be seeing you for the next couple of weeks, but try to enjoy the game. More podcast selfies, baby. Podcast selfies. That's all I got to say.
It's all about the podcast selfies.
That's it. That's it. All right. So for everybody here at the Alouettes Flight Deck for Cliffy D, I'm Tim Capper. We're on Final Approach. Take off to the great white north. Take off. It's a beauty way to go. Take off to the great white north.
Thanks for listening. Find more great shows like this at CF Pod Network on Twitter.